we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Oh, good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio broadcast. I pray that you are anticipating having a tremendous Tuesday as you are an active ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ right here in beautiful Brevard County, Florida. If you are going to have to spend a winter, you might as well spend it in Florida. It is a very blessed place that we live. And so thank you. My name is Bob Arthurs, and you are listening to the Refresh radio broadcast brought to you by the saints at Merritt Assembly of God. You've tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM. If you are listening at 8:30 or AM or 5 o'clock PM, if you're listening at 10:30, you have tuned in to WWBC 1510 AM. Two great radio stations here in Brevard County that take the good news of Jesus Christ to the population, the visitors. Do you realize that we have our own little mission field right here in Brevard County? God actually brings the world to our doorstep, and we want to make sure that while they are here, that they encounter the presence of the living God. So we just want to say thank you for being a part of what God is doing. And we're going to get into the Word of God. I want to remind you that coming up this coming Sunday, we will be having our missions emphasis on Sunday morning. It is one of the highlights of our year. We're doing it a little different than we have in years gone by. This year, we're not doing a missions banquet. We are having a missions emphasis on Sunday morning. On Sunday night, we will be having a Holy Spirit emphasis in our church. We've got Gary Kellner, who is going to be with us this coming week, Sunday morning and Sunday night, and we encourage you to come and be a part of that. This is, I preached a couple of weeks ago on stretching your faith and having God create a desire inside of us that is going to be something that we have to stretch for. And that is what our mission's emphasis is. It is, God, what can you accomplish through me with the faith that you have provided for me? What can you stretch me to accomplish? What can you stretch Merritt Assembly of God to accomplish? And so we are going to be presenting our congregation with an opportunity to say, as God provides, we will partner with you to touch this world with the good news that Jesus died upon the cross to save people from their sins and to give them power to live a godly and righteous life. So that's coming up this coming week. I saw a testimony that came across a newsletter that I received here last week, and it had in it a testimony of God doing a supernatural miracle in the life of a person that many people would write off as having any possibility whatsoever of coming to faith in Jesus Christ. God actually restored the sight of this person, and it truly, when God does things that are not humanly possible, only God can receive the glory for that. And I want you to know, we still believe in a miracle-working God, and we also believe in a God who wants all men everywhere to be saved. That's why we take the good news. That's why we are so focused on missions, is because that is the heart of God. With that being said, we are going to finish up this week our study on the fruit of the Spirit being faithfulness. We have been talking for some time now on this progressive relationship out of Galatians that has to do with our relationship with God, the Holy Spirit. And because we abide in him, he supernaturally produces in us the fruit of the Spirit. You see, it's not about whether or not you have a patient personality or not. It is can God produce patience in you? Not because of your personality, but because of the God that lives inside of you. Can God take an unfaithful person, redeem them by the blood of the Lamb, fill them with the power of the Holy Spirit, and cause an unfaithful person to become a faithful person? I believe he can, because he's a faithful God. If God is residing in you and he is a faithful God, and that's, we're going to be in Revelation chapter 1 is where we're going to begin today. If God is faithful and he is living inside of you, then by the very nature of your Savior, faithfulness should be a reality in your life and in my life. Let's read Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 and 6 this morning. 4, 5, and 6. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we're going to be talking about Jesus today, that he is a faithful witness. If you go into a court of law, if you are summoned as a witness, they are going to ask you to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. If you get up there and you testify to something that is not true, you are called a perjurer. Now, I want you to understand that in Acts chapter 1, God said that after the Holy Spirit would come upon them, that they would be witnesses, that we would be witnesses. I would, you would, we all would together, that we would be witnesses to him in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and under the uttermost parts of the earth. You and I are going to be that witness. So I want to ask you today, are you going to be a faithful witness? Are you going to be a sporadic witness, an intermittent witness? What type of witness are you going to be? But when it comes to you, God is going to cause Jesus to faithfully testify to the reality in your life. I remember when I was in my, I'm going to say late teens, early 20 year there, that I was working in a manufacturing plant. I was a pipe cutter and a pipe threader, and really messy work. And I was talking to this person who said that their father had been an Assemblies of God minister and they did not want to have anything to do with the church at all. I was witnessing to him. I was witnessing to another person. And this person said, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to explain how life was here on earth to God. The assumption that that person made was that God was out of touch and uninformed and had no concept of the reality in which human beings live. And here John is on the Isle of Patmos, and Jesus appears to him. John had one responsibility, that was to go there and die. They cut him off from the rest of society so that he would not have the ability to influence people, and instead they positioned him for a divine encounter with Jesus Christ, who was and is to come, the faithful witness, and in doing so, that encounter was transcribed for us in the book of Revelation, and it is still affecting people's lives today. Jesus is a faithful witness. And this faithful witness will faithfully testify as to who God is. This faithful witness will testify as to the reality of who we are. And this faithful witness will testify before all of heaven concerning our relationship with him. Even those who are removed from his presence will declare that God is righteous and true in his judgments, even if they do not get to participate the way that God wanted them to participate. So we're going to go through this, through several passages here today, as to the reality of God. In Nehemiah chapter 9, verse number 33, Nehemiah writes, "However, you are just in all that has befallen us, for you have dealt faithfully, but we have done wickedly." Nehemiah wasn't putting the blame upon God. He was saying, "God, I don't have to wonder why we ended up going into the Babylonian captivity. I don't have to wonder why the bad things that have happened to us happened. You have acted in faithfulness." I want you to see that God is faithful to his word. He is a faithful witness to send the blessings that he promises that he will send. And he is a faithful, he's faithful to stand in opposition to people so that they do not end up easily going into a godless eternity. He is faithful to send blessings, and he is faithful to bring curses. He is faithful to provide supernaturally to those who are walking. He is faithful to have his favor bestowed upon you. In fact, there in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 4, it says, "Grace to you and peace." God is faithful to his children to provide the unmerited favor. He is faithful to provide the peace of God that surpasses understanding. He is faithful to empower you to live the way he wants you. He is faithful to provide those things. So as you are reading the word of God, please understand that it is the word of God is spirit and it is spiritually discerned. That means that the word must come through your spirit into your soul. It must come through your spirit and begin to affect the way that you think, the way that you feel, the way that you act, the body. The word of God is quick and powerful, and it is able to quicken this mortal body. The spirit that raised Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal body. The word of God is quick and powerful and able to divide asunder between soul and spirit, between the joints and the marrow. That means that the word of God is faithful to affect every area of your life, body, soul, and spirit. So Nehemiah said, "You know what? I'm not going to fall prey to what the rest of humanity does. I'm not going to claim that God is unfaithful. God is faithful. It is we that have sinned. It is we that have positioned ourselves to be corrected instead of being empowered." I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that God is faithful. One time I was having a whine session. I don't know if you ever have those. And I was saying, "God, why is it that you're always correcting me of some of the least and most insignificant things?" And God said, is that really what you want? But see, I was, at that particular season, I was looking around. I was seeing people get by with all sorts of egregious things. I was seeing people who I understood more about what was going on there than I was kind of scratching my head and saying, "God, you know, what's wrong with Merit Assembly of God that you're not moving in this church? Why is it that I see pastors in other churches doing all sorts of things that I wouldn't do, and yet they're growing and things like that? Why? And he said, "Is that really what you want?" And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Do you really want me not to be a faithful witness in your life about the things that are displeasing in my sight until it is too late for you to do anything about it? Is that really what you want?" And I said, "No, sir, that is not what I want. In fact, I tell you what, I give you permission now, God, deal with the smallest issues of my life so that they don't grow up to be big issues in my life." God is a faithful witness. And so Nehemiah learned that he was faithful in dealing with his covenant people in a faithful manner. Also, in Revelation chapter 3, we see as Jesus is dealing with the church at Laodicea, and let me just read this passage for you today. And to the angel of the church, this is Revelation chapter 3, verse number 14, "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich in white, that you may be rich in white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Jesus said, I am the faithful, or the Amen, the faithful and true witness. His testimony is true. Now, that word Amen, it means the so be it. I want you to get an understanding of what he wants to be an Amen, a so be it. Let there, when I see that, I think back to creation where it says, God said, let there be, and there was. When God says amen, it will be. And so he says, I don't want your current condition to be the so be it. I want the dine with me, the sup with me, the be with me where I am, for you to sit upon a throne. That's what he is saying, so be it. Don't allow your current condition to deprive you of the future positioning and blessing that God has for you. So what does this faithful witness to the church at Laodicea do? It says, first of all, I know your works. That's what it says in verse number 15. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. Now, Jesus is not guessing at this. He's a faithful witness. He's saying, this is the current reality. You know, I don't know if you've ever gone to the doctor and you thought that everything was fine, and the doctor says, things aren't fine. There's a commercial on television. It has to do with pre-diabetes condition. And the people said, oh, no, I can't have that because I ate either. There's one with men that I like this food too much, and it's like, oh, you know, I'm too young for that. There's another with a lady, well, I can't have that because I'm too busy in my life to be able to squeeze anything else into. There's no way that I can have that condition. And the doctor originally, you know, plays along, oh, you know, that's right, I understand. There's a special exemption for you. And that's not a reality. God knows the reality of who you are. He knows my works. He knows your works. He knows whether you're cold or hot or lukewarm. And his is not a guess. His is a faithful witness. And so when the Holy Spirit begins to deal with issues in your life, whether it's a heart issue, an eye issue, a mouth issue, whether it is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, or the boastful pride of life, when the Holy Spirit puts his finger on that and says, this is displeasing in my sight, it's not a guess, it's not a punishment, it is not something because God doesn't love you, it is because he does love you. And he says, this is an accurate assessment of who you are. He goes on and he tells the church at Laodicea in a faithful manner that they had overestimated their current condition. They said they were rich, that they had become wealthy. And Jesus said the faithful testimony is that you are poor. They said that their testimony was that they didn't need anything. God's testimony was that they were wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. It was a faithful testimony. So what does God's faithful testimony have to say to you? Okay? What does God's faithful testimony have to say to you? When he testifies, he also testifies the solution to the problem. He just doesn't make you aware of the situation. He testifies there is a remedy. There is a problem. And so what he says is in verse number 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. So God testified that there was a way for their spiritual wealth status to increase, that there was a way for their uncovered, their lack of covering to be solved, that their lack of vision could be corrected. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, and he does that faithfully. And he says, therefore, be zealous and repent. Okay? When God says that we need to repent, we need to repent. It's a faithful situation. He says, when you've done that, when you repent, okay, we'll talk about what happens when we repent in another broadcast. But if we do that, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. Now, a lot of times we quote this verse as if it is written to unbelievers. In actuality, it was written to believers. And you are anyone, and I am anyone. Merit Assembly of God is anyone. The church that you go to is anyone. We have the privilege. He says, he faithfully testifies and says, I am standing at the door and I'm knocking because I want to come in. He testifies that he has a desire to come in and have fellowship with you and with me. He testifies that he is a God who is very close in proximity to you, that his desire is to have fellowship with you. Listen, that's the faithful testimony of God. If you think that God is a God who is far away, today I want to let you know that he is a God who is very, very near. Okay? And so there's one more thing that I want to share with you about God being faithful. It's in Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 11. It says, now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. When I was traveling back from visiting my mother in the intensive care unit, as I traveled back, I saw a saying that a person had they had it tattooed on their arm. And it said this: only God can judge me. Only God can judge me. And I want you to understand that God is faithful as a judge. There are two different standards. Okay? You and I get to choose which standard God will use in judging us by. If we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat of Christ. We stand there and we are judged according to what we have done for God. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are going to partake of heaven and all its blessings. But we will be judged with what we have done for God. And so our works will be tried by fire. And it says that the wood, the hay, and the stubble will be consumed, and there will be loss. But anything that you have done that successfully passes through the fire, whether it's gold or metal or precious stones, will be rewarded, and we will be able to lay that crown at Jesus' feet and said, the only reason I was able to do this is because of your faithful ministry in my life. Okay? And so there is, God is faithful to reward you. For there is another judgment that is described in the book of Revelation, and it is the great white throne judgment. And it is a judgment where people stand on their own merits without an advocate. You and I, we stand before the judgment seat of Christ with Christ as our advocate, testifying to all that he has done on our behalf, and that we should spend eternity in heaven. The great white throne judgment, you have no advocate. There is no appeal. God is a faithful judge. And as I sat there and I saw that person, I realized that they had probably been condemned by some people, and that is not my place. My job is not to condemn. But I wanted to ask, well, what standard will God use? Because God will judge. He will judge me, and he will judge you. What standard will God judge you by? And many people want God to judge them, and he thinks that, and they think that they're going, that God is going to say, well, you know, you poor little thing, you just come on in. But I want you to realize that God's word is settled forever in heaven and on earth. And that is the standard. What we have done with Jesus Christ is absolutely essential. What have you done with Jesus? Have you said yes to him? And I just want you to know today that God will judge faithfully. His decisions will be just and righteous. And I tell you, he wants to be able to say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what he wants to say. He doesn't want to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Behold, I never knew you. Depart into everlasting destruction. I know he doesn't want to say that, but the decisions he make will be righteous and true. Today, I pray, if you've not asked Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior, that today you will join me in saying, Jesus, forgive me of my sins, be the Lord of my life, and faithfully testify every day that I am a child of the living God. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.